This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Football on Off the Ball.
There was an ad for 4 tickets to the final at a cost of $2.3 million each. $2.3 million what? Each for a ticket to the final, yeah.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we look ahead to a big night in the League of Ireland with all 10 teams in action across the evening. Aston Villa return to their first European final since 1982 after beating Nottingham Forest in the Europa League semi-final. And what did Jason McAteer think of the Saipan movie? But first today, Galway United welcome Shamrock Rovers to AIM&DC Park in our live League of Ireland commentary this evening. The Tribesmen are winless in their last 43 matches with the Hoops, losing 35 of those. At the same time, the Tala side have not beaten Galway by more than 2 goals in a decade, so the battle remains close. For the Hoops, Roberto Lopez and Galway man Rory Gaffney are likely to miss out. Speaking to Rovers in-house media channel, head coach Stephen Bradley says that he's expecting tonight's game to be as tough as any other.
Yeah, very tight games. And like I said, we've had really tough games against Galway, home and away. And we expect Friday to be no different.
John Caulfield's side have just won 1 of their last 5, but aren't beaten in their last 3 games. Johnny Dunleavy is someone who knows all about Galway manager Caulfield, and on this week's LOI pod, Dunleavy described what type of manager the Cork native is.
I suppose, really, it's a testament to John, and as I say, it's totally different when you're on the outside and you're looking in, and how difficult that he makes a team to beat. And that's what Galway are. They're so, so hard to beat, and they pick up results and they pick up points.
I'd say the type of player I was, I would have loved to play under Coffey, believe it or not. But you get the sense you die from, or you go to war from.
He created like a, I wouldn't even say like a siege mentality, but almost that, you know, there's too much, and I've actually heard it and I've said it since, that football has become very, very nice. Very nice. Everyone's friends, shaking hands. There's no real... Like, when's the last game that you watched that was really bitter, that was tough, that was difficult, there was a bad tackle on it, it just doesn't really happen now. And I suppose that was something that he was very keen to stress, is that, look, you can talk to these lads whenever you want. There's no problem outside of business hour. But when we're playing on a Friday night, there's no room for us being close to these. We have to go out and beat them. We're effectively going to war with them, and that's it. And he would send you out on the pitch so motivated, so ready to go, and like, sure, following on from that, results speak from themselves. And I have to say, I thought he was brilliant, and I'd always say he was a winner, and I enjoyed playing under him.
And if you want to listen to that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Kickoff tonight in AIM&DC Park is at 7:45. You'll be able to hear live commentary of that game with Stephen Doyle and Johnny Dunleavy on the call. Coverage begins from 7 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app. Elsewhere tonight, Bohemians are seeking to end a run of 9 matches without a victory as they face Dundalk in Oriel Park. The Lilywhites surrendered their unbeaten home record last week when they were beaten by Shelburne 2-1. Bows have been on a rut themselves. They're 9 points off the top, while just being 7 clear of the relegation playoff. Alan Reynolds will be without Jordan Flores, and there are doubts over the fitness of both Marcus Stroud and Senna Mullen. Dundalk, meanwhile, will be aiming to bounce back from only picking up 1 point from 6 last weekend. Kieran Kilduff's side are still in the top 4, 11 points with tonight's opponents. The Lilywhites will be without important centre-half Mayoa Anamason through injury. Meanwhile, Waterford begin life under new manager Graham Coughlan this evening when the Blues take on St Patrick's Athletic in Inchicore. Coughlan, who spent the majority of his career across the water as a player and manager, comes into a team rooted to the bottom of the table and without a win in their opening 14 games. But in this week's LOI pod, Vinnie Pear told Stephen Doyle that Coughlan will bring a wealth of experience.
We have a new gaffer at the Blues. What did you make of this appointment?
he will get blood out of stone. He's that type of manager that some won't like him and some of the players will be ready to die for him. He will be a breath of fresh air in that club. He will push standards within training. He will have the team play the way he played. He was a no-nonsense centre-half that just loved the game. And you can tell if you look at a CV and people delve into it, the clubs he's played at. Like Bristol Rovers, for example, his first manager job is a huge football club.
Yeah.
Us in Ireland, it's not. Bristol is a huge club. Bristol City is obviously the bigger club at the moment, but Bristol Rovers is a huge, huge club. He's had some big, big jobs at that level. And Waterford, I've seen a small, because I seen this on somewhere online about an hour or two ago, and then I've seen some of the reaction. A couple of people have sneered their nose at this a little bit. You underestimate Grant Coughlin at your peril. This fella, it's a huge job to get Waterford safe. Absolutely huge. They're in a no-win situation where they are. You underestimate him and what he's done at the hardest level in English football, and it'll be the biggest mistake you'll make. He will get them. He will do a really good job there. Whether that's good enough to keep them up, that's separate. But be under no illusions. Mansfield, Newport County, Bristol Rovers, and
Boston United.
Big clubs as big as Waterford, and most of them are bigger than Waterford. He's well capable of doing that job. And watch this space with that appointment.
And speaking ahead of the game, Coughlin says that his players need to hit the ground running.
Look, they're a good group of lads. We all know that. They've lost their way a little bit, struggling a little bit with confidence, maybe a little bit of self-belief. There's a few little bits and pieces that we can try and instill in them over the short period. But an awful lot of it has got to be down to them. They've got to start believing. They've got to start growing and developing and learning real quick, a lot quicker than they are, being a little bit more proactive than reactive. So there's plenty that we've touched on, but getting to work, getting the fundamentals, getting the basics of how we want to play, getting our DNA and our values and our principles out, is not going to be done in 24, 48 hours. So that's a longer process. But yeah, the first 24 hours, first training session, initial thoughts are very positive.
St. Pat's, meanwhile, drew both games out west last week against Sligo Rovers and Galway United. Stephen Kenny's side are unbeaten in four, but are still 3 points behind the leaders, Shamrock Rovers. Shelburne are still looking for their first win at Tulke Park for the season. Joey O'Brien's side will be boosted by last weekend's results, winning away to Dundalk and taking a point at Dalymount Park against Bohemians. The Reds are sixth in the table, just 2 points ahead of Sligo Rovers, tonight's opponents, in the playoff position in ninth. Sligo themselves have been boosted by the news this week that Will Fitzgerald was named Player of the Month. He's been crucial for John Russell's side as they look to keep distance between themselves and Waterford. That game is the only 8 o'clock kickoff tonight. Drogheda United and Derry City clash at Sullivan and Lamb Park in the final game of the night. The Boynesiders were dismal in set-piece defending in Tala last Monday, but had finally come to life in the week beforehand with two wins. Derry have also improved, and both sides would be keen to move closer to the higher echelons of the table, with just 3 points between them as it stands. In the first division, there could be some movement at the top of the table. League leaders UCD are up against Cork City, Cove head to Bray Wanderers, Athlone Town welcome Treaty United, Kerry make the long trip to Finn Harps, while Wexford are in action against Longford Town. All of those games get underway from 7:45 p.m. Aston Villa manager Unai Emery is urging his team to secure a top 5 Premier League finish before they play in the Europa League final. Villa's 4-0 second leg demolition of Nottingham Forest means a trip to Istanbul to face Freiburg, but he says they need to ensure Champions League football before they face the Germans.
We can lose the final, and if we are losing, we're not achieving nothing. We need the Premier League. Try to focus now the match on Sunday and try to get through the league, through the Premier League, to get Champions League position, and then play the final.
Nottingham Forest manager Vitor Pereira blamed injuries for their 4-0 thrashing at the hands of Villa. Pereira says he only had 3 fit senior players on the bench.
I'm proud of my team, of my players, proud of our supporters. But today we came here without the conditions to compete in for the final. Difficult conditions for us.
Crystal Palace manager Oliver Glasner says making the UEFA Conference League final is payback for winning the FA Cup a year ago. Palace beat Shakhtar Donetsk 5-2 on aggregate to seal their spot with Rayo Vallecano in Leipzig. After seeing their Europa League place given to Nottingham Forest late last August, the Austrian urged his squad to repeatedly embrace this competition.
Before every single game, I've mentioned to the players, before everything, it was the 16th Conference League game, I said, please never forget, this is the reward for last year's achievement, for winning the FA Cup. And I want that you enter the pitch being proud and with this happiness, because it's the reward.
Chelsea interim manager Callum McFarlane says he's embracing the challenge at Stamford Bridge despite external criticism. Former Liverpool defender Jamie Carragher described the club as broken after suffering their sixth straight Premier League defeat last time out. McFarlane says Carragher is entitled to his opinion, but he's focused on the job at hand.
Yeah, we need to just, we've got 4 games left. We need to attack every game and show our level like we have done at times this year, not recently, and put ourselves in the best position to achieve that.
Tottenham manager Roberto De Zerbi says he 100% wants the club to secure a deal to keep midfielder João Palhinha. The Portugal international is on loan from Bayern Munich until the end of the season. De Zerbi has been impressed with Palhinha's attitude.
As a player, for sure, but as a guy, no? I want to see the player with the same passion, the same attitude, the same spirit, the same personality. And we are lucky to have with us Palhinha.
Real Madrid have confirmed Federico Valverde suffered a concussion after a training ground bust-up with Aurelien Tchouaméni, but the Uruguayan says it happened after hitting his head on a table, not due to a fist fight. Valverde says the incident has been blown out of proportion, but the club has opened disciplinary proceedings against the pair. Millwall boss Alex Neil insists there are no favourites when it comes to the playoffs. They travel to Hull City in the first leg of their semi-final tonight. Neil's side finished the championship season 10 points better off than their opponents, but he says that's irrelevant now.
The way I look at it is it's a one-off game at their place. We need to go and try and get a result and try and win the game. And then obviously depending on what will happen is, I think that will allow both teams to sort of approach the game in the second leg, depending on what the scoreline looks like.
An allegation of unauthorised filming has led to Southampton being investigated for spying on Middlesbrough ahead of the Championship playoff semi-final tomorrow. The English Football League says they're treating the matter as potential misconduct. Middlesbrough made a complaint after claiming someone associated with Southampton was spotted taking pictures and videos at their training ground. Former Republic of Ireland international Jason McAteer joined Owen Shane on last night on The Football Show. And with the Saipan movie in the minds of many since its release since the start of the year, McAteer says it wasn't a true representation of what happened on the Pacific Island.
What I'm about to say is in no reflection to the actors and the people who obviously worked on the film. My annoyance and grievance would be around the way it was portrayed and in the manner in which it was portrayed. I think it was lazy. I think it was just a lazy effort to tell, you know, a fascinating story. You know, it was 2002, and we've talked at length here of how the game's moved on and how different characters and profiles and cultures and how things work in football. And, you know, you can go back and have a really good look at the way things broke down, the way things happened, and you could really do a good drama about it. You know, it could be absolutely fascinating. And what disappointed me is the likes of, and again, I use this word a lot, but the culture of football. Listen, in 94, there was a drinking culture. It was that was sport. You know, you go out for a pint. It was a very social world sport back then. You know, in 2002, it wasn't like that. You know, Kenny, Shea, Gary Breen, you know, they were all in the gym at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's not me having it. That is the professionalism of the lads. You know, we didn't go there to have a good time. We didn't go there with no expectations of not doing well. We wanted to give the best account of ourselves. We didn't have the right to be there. It was a tough campaign. We it was a long season that we'd had. You know, it was two years of qualifying for that World Cup. You know, it was tough. It was an emotional roller coaster for lots of different reasons. You know, there was great friendship forged on and off the pitch through that campaign. And I felt it was a real lack of respect towards the lads who were in the squad. I'm taking me out of it. You know, I'm not interested in what people think of my contribution, but for the likes of Duffer and Robbie and Breeny and Dunny and Shea Given and Kenny Cunningham, they were the ultimate professionals, you know, ultimate professionals.
And it portrays them as...
It wasn't portrayed, yeah. It portrays them. It portrayed us as a group of lads who went to have a party because we qualified for the World Cup. We didn't treat it with any respect. We didn't treat the manager with any respect. I felt the incident, which is a fascinating insight, psychological insight to sport and relationships and manager player relationships, and you know, which could have been portrayed in so much better. I think it was disrespectful, to be honest. And I did go and see it, and I wanted to walk out halfway through. I've never dressed like Roland Keane in my life, by the way. I thought it was a poor reflection on who Mick McCarthy is as a manager, but a man. And Roy Keane. It could have been done so much better. But listen, and I say again, that's no reflection on the actors. I thought what they had to do, they had to do.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.